T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're live in a living color from the Black Bear Studio. Black Bear Deli Meats and Cheese is only at my favorite store. I didn't go this week. Terry went yesterday. ShopRite, the ShopRite in Ramsey. I should have stock in that store. Anyway, Jeff Passan. What time is Jeff Passan joining us?
Right now.
Oh, he's here with us now? And this is like, this is it, right? This is like a farewell to Jeff Passan.
Yeah, Jeff, do you realize your future doesn't include us now?
It's sad.
Because you're going to be with ESPN, right? Is that the deal? Because you can't come on with us anymore. You can't come on with the little people now, you know?
I am having a great time writing for Yahoo Sports in the playoffs right now.
I guess he can't talk about it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Here, I'll just leave you with this.
Sorry,
you don't
Jeff.
Have to respond, Jeff. But I just
Joe, I haven't talked with you in like 6 freaking months, and you do that when I come on.
Well,
thanks,
here's why, okay? And I apologize, but here's why. Because all I keep hearing, we can't have Jeff Passan on anymore. I've been hearing this for 2 weeks now, Jeff. That's all. I mean, we can't have. Can we get him on one more time before he leaves? So, what do you want me to say?
It's bothering me and Ernie.
You want me to talk about how great owners the Wilpons are? I mean, what do you want? the pain.
If that's really all you're hearing, then you've got a much sadder life than I thought, Joe.
Jeff, you got to understand something.
I've been hearing a lot of it. I'll say that.
You got to understand. We love you. We appreciate you. And it's heartbreaking because it's happened a lot when we lose a guy to ESPN like Adrian Wojnarowski, who, you know, we have on a lot, who's a great guest. And then they basically, you know, they won't even return text messages. So here's what I'll say, because I know you can't confirm anything. You're a big deal. Now, you're probably getting paid a lot of money. You're a big free agent signing.
Yep. You're like Manny Machado.
You kind of are. You have the power. You have the power to say, you know what? I don't believe in your stupid rules. I'm going on with Joe and Evan anyway. So why don't you try that and we'll see what happens, all right? All right, just leave it at that. I know you can't say anything. Other than that, how are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great. I got a tied series down here in Houston that's going to be untied after tonight. Mm. And we've got the Dodgers on the ropes. They don't have a catcher who knows how to catch, and they don't have hitters who know how to hit. And the Milwaukee Brewers are beating them with a rotation of Yolish Chacin, Gio Gonzalez, and Wade Miley, all perpetually working on short rest. So it's like, this is bizarro baseball right now, and I am totally here for it.
Mm. Bizarro baseball. How about that right now? Right now, obviously, look, the Dodgers are down 2-1. We know the other series is 1-1. How do you see it playing out here at the end now?
You know, this has been the year where, by and large, there have been so many times that I've banked on talent and just been utterly disappointed. Because I looked at the Nationals. They were the most talented team in the East. They didn't do squat all year long. I looked at the Yankees. I thought coming into the year they were actually a more talented team than the Red Sox. The Red Sox ran roughshod over them. And so when I look at the Dodgers, they're a more talented team than the Milwaukee Brewers are. But the Brewers have home field advantage back after last night. And the Dodgers just, they have those games where they absolutely disappear. And I don't know what explains that, but it almost feels as though at this point, and maybe it's recency bias considering the Brewers just won last night's game, it almost feels like Milwaukee is so steady and doesn't have nearly as many of those disappear games. And I want to say Milwaukee. It just you know, in my head, I'm just like, Dodgers have more talent, and over a seven-game series, the bullpen's going to wear down. And I might be wrong about that. I think this is going seven, though, and I think if it's going seven, it's going to be Dodgers.
Mm. It's incredible how the Brewers, who are still starting pitchers, even if Craig Counsell doesn't want to call them starting pitchers, if you start a game, you're a starting pitcher. But they have all been so good, even if it's only for three or four innings in some of the cases. The Gio Gonzalez one was bizarre. Guy pitches two innings, gives up a home run, let's get him out of the game, God forbid. But their combined ERA from starters so far in the playoffs is something absurd, like 0.40.
I was going to say, I was guessing that it was going to start with a zero or at worst a one. It's like Yoli Chacin every time he goes out there, throws five shutouts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, just book it. And hey, let's start Brandon Woodruff in a game and have him throw three shutout. And hey, let's bring him in and have him hit a home run off Clayton Kershaw.
Right,
because we're freaking ridiculous. And that's what the Brewers are doing right now. It's almost like in this season where the Tampa Bay Rays nuked the idea of a starting rotation, the Brewers are there. Their cousin who made it in the playoffs. They're not quite as extreme as were, but they understand that the best way for them to win is like this. And while over a full season, I don't think it's all that possible to make it happen or all that practical, I guess, rather than possible.
Right.
In the short season where the series is seven games, where you have a day off every two, at worst 3 days, you can do something like this and make it work. It's not easy. It takes a really good manager, and I think Craig Counsell is a really good manager.
You know what, though, Jeff? Here's what would scare me. At some point, Jeremy Jeffress is going to completely implode. I mean, he has been dancing with danger, not just throughout this postseason, but really like the last month of the season, he started to be more human. Even last night, bases loaded, one out, and I give him credit. He got the big outs, but it feels like he's going to explode at some point.
Yeah, it's a contest between him and Craig Kimbrell to see who absolutely self-immolates first. It's going to be one of them at
right,
some point.
Right.
And you know, everybody listening right now is hoping that it's Craig Kimbrell.
No, of course.
The Red Sox. And,
of course.
And because watching him like fold over into that condor pose with his arms out and literally just catch on fire would make New Yorkers very happy.
Mm. Talking to the great Jeff Passan. All right. Why is it that Clayton Kershaw, as great as he is, turns into, and it doesn't, look, he's not as bad as David Price. I mean, nobody's as bad as David Price. It is celebrating David Price giving up four runs and actually getting through four innings, you know, and then you're getting nuts about that. Why is Kershaw not the same guy in the playoffs?
If I may just talk about Price for a second first.
Please.
To me, the most interesting thing that came out of Game 2 was that the only difference between David Price getting absolutely ripped by everyone for being terrible in the playoffs and not is his run support.
Of course.
That was the first time David Price got any run support. David Price was just as trash in Game 2
He's
been in like every other
Spot
game
on. No question.
That he's pitched in the playoffs.
Spot on. And
the only thing he got was run support from his team this time. So if we in the media are going to say, and I'm not saying this with you guys, I'm saying writ large, we in the media are going to say that David Price, you know, all of a sudden like showed up, almost got a win. No, he was as bad as he's always been. And with Clayton Kershaw, Joe, the difference with Kershaw is Price is consistently, aside from like that game 163, and maybe that breaks the consistency, but that's one out of 12 games. Price is consistently terrible as a starting pitcher.
Yes, no question.
Clayton Kershaw can come out there like he did in game two of the DS this year and throw eight shutout innings.
No, I know.
And they weren't eight Kershavian, you know, classic innings. They were eight pretty freaking good innings, though. And then to come out and just lay an absolute egg like he did in game one, I don't get it. I do not get it. I will never get it because I don't think Clayton Kershaw is soft. I don't think Clayton Kershaw has some sort of mental block in the playoffs. I don't know what it is. And for a long time, I said, oh, it's just baseball. It's just a... But it's happened too often. And yeah. And I wonder now at this point, like, what could it possibly be? Because this is not the type of guy who you normally see just absolutely turning into an accordion this time of year. Great players are supposed to be great in October. That's where you prove your greatness, that you're not just a, you know, a regular season wonder, that you can do it in the playoffs too. And it reminds me a lot, actually, of A-Rod, in that he showed flashes now and again. He reminded you in the playoffs that he could be really good. But for the most part, it was just like, where is the guy that we know and we've seen? And when you're getting compared to playoff A-Rod, that is not a flattering comparison.
But you know what playoff A-Rod has that Clayton may never get?
Championship.
A championship that he carried.
A ring.
He does have
ring.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? The reason I'm saying A-Rod, the reason I think it's appropriate, is because I think Clayton Kershaw's got that somewhere in him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to be this year. I don't know if it's going to be next year. I don't know when it's going to be. But I feel like at some point in his career, the A-Rod, the Bonds that we saw in, against the Angels, who just absolutely couldn't miss, who hit like a 780-foot home run against Troy Percival, like that guy, I feel like is going to come out with Kershaw at some point.
You know what it's going to be? Walter Johnson finally won a championship when he was 36 years old. It's going to be like that.
There
when Clayton Kershaw's past his prime, that's when it'll all come together. But I got a theory about David Price I want to throw at you, because he's obviously been bad, consistently bad in these big spots. The one thing he's done well is when they've asked him to come out of the bullpen, starting all the way back in Tampa to even last year. Last year, people forget this, he came into one of the Red Sox-Astro games, I forget which game, the game they won the Red Sox, in the fourth inning of a close game, and he pitched four scoreless innings out of the bullpen.
Shutout. Yep.
So
yep.
Is it?
And he threw. I think he threw 2 2/3 shutout in another appearance.
I think so.
Like 6 2/3 shutout.
So if you're Alex Cora and you don't have a great bullpen to begin with, any thought of, you know what? Let me get the good David Price, and the only way to get it is to move him to the bullpen.
There's thought, I'm sure, and there should be thought. And the problem is the alternative is you started Eduardo Rodriguez. Like, I mean, are you really expecting better out of Eduardo Rodriguez than you're going to get from David Price?
Can it be worse?
Well, here's where I think that argument falls apart.
Go ahead.
I think you can argue that in a short, and the argument is, you know, is Eduardo Rodriguez really better? I think that argument falls apart when you consider that in the playoffs in a short series, high leverage innings really, really matter. And if you add up the import of those fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth innings, you can make that argument that they are actually more important than those beginning innings. Because if with this offense, which we know is dynamic, you get a lead at all, you can hold on to that lead and allow them to get some tack-on runs, which is pretty much what happened in the last game. In game two, you know, the three-run double off the wall by Jackie Bradley Jr., and the bullpen held, and then Mookie Betts did his ridiculous Mookie Betts thing twice and scored a run and drove in a run. And that was the cushion that Craig Kimbrell needed. And so with those innings, as important as they are, yeah, you could absolutely make an argument that Price belongs there. But then that presupposes that David Price is actually a better pitcher out of the bullpen. He has been better, but that doesn't mean he's going to be better in the future out of the bullpen than he is on the on the mound as a starter.
You know, I want to go back because you mentioned, you talked about the Nationals and all the talent and, you know, how they, you know, obviously the brutal year they had. And they've won nothing, as we know, which is great. As a Met fan, I don't ever want to see them win a playoff series. So that's been good so far. But one of the big problems there that I think, and you tell me if I'm wrong, you know better than me, okay? I think Bryce Harper
is one of the big problems. Is one of the big problems that they have a general manager who will trade a relief pitcher because he thinks you talked to me for a story when I literally had never talked to him.
Oh, is that right?
I wasn't going there, but
I didn't even know that.
No, I just had to say the highlight of my postseason so far was after the Cubs lost to the Rockies. I get a tap on the shoulder, and I turn around, and a guy's like, "Hey, are you that dude from Yahoo?" And it was Brandon Kinsler, and I was meeting him for the first time after he got traded.
Right.
Because Mike Rizzo thought he talked to me for a story. I'm sorry, Joe. Go ahead.
No, I think one of the big problems is Bryce Harper in the locker room. I don't know. I just get that impression that he is not exactly Mr. Team Player. How about that?
Let's put it this way. There were absolutely segments of the Nationals locker, Nationals clubhouse, that did not like Bryce Harper. But I don't think that's particularly fair to Bryce Harper to say that because guys don't like you in one place, they're not going to like you in another. I think you could look at plenty of superstars around baseball who were disliked by people in clubhouses. And that's not as much of a reflection on them as it is a reflection on their status and on their pay and on their popularity and on everything that comes with superstardom. That being said, I think that Bryce Harper has a chance to start fresh and really assert himself as the leader that he never was in Washington. And I don't know if that is with the Yankees. I don't know if that is with the Phillies. I don't know if that is with the Cubs. I don't know if that's with the Dodgers. I don't know where that is at this point. I don't know if it's back with the Nationals. There's going to be an enormous market for him, though. And whatever team gets him, I think is going to be really lucky because you can count on a hand as many players out there as naturally talented as he is.
We're talking to Jeff Passan real quick. I know you got to run.
He's running.
Joe
already?
And I, yeah.
This is the last time he's going to be on.
No. Screw this. You know what? If this is the last time, let's make it a good one.
Is it the last? When are you leaving?
See that? Look at that. See that?
I like that.
Yeah, see that? How, come on.
Look
huh?
at that. You
Who's
guilted
better than
him.
Passan?
He guilted him into saying, "I can't leave."
I think Passan should be the GM of the Mets. Your thoughts?
That was my question, Jeff. Is there anything that could happen in the next few weeks with this horrendous GM search that's going on that can make Joe and I and other Met fans happy, or is this just doomed from the beginning?
It is doomed. It is doomed.
It is.
They may still pull a rabbit out of their hat.
And get
good people in there. They may do that. They may back into it.
Mm.
I don't think that they are going to be the type of organization that ever attracts the top candidates that they should want and that would want a GM job. Like, oh my God, a freaking team in New York. And the reason that that's never going to happen is because there is this perception, and it is entirely accurate, that the second they get in there, Jeff Wilpon is going to take his meddling hands and place them all over whatever plans the people come in there with. There is this perception, and it is real, that Omar Minaya is running the search right now. And if Omar Minaya is running the GM search, what does that say about his power inside of the organization, particularly if he's sticking around? When we have talked in the past about the manifestation of dysfunction throughout that organization, this is just another example. The Mets have known for how long now that they're going to need a new leadership tree, new leadership duo if they go that route? 3 months? 4 months? They've known for an awfully long time that this was coming. And here we are, 2 weeks from the end of the season, 2 weeks from free agency starting, 2 weeks from Bryce Harper being out there, 2 weeks from Manny Machado being out there, 2 weeks from Patrick Corbin and AJ Pollock and every other person who, frankly, could fit with the Mets. And they have no idea who's going to be running the organization next year. Hmm. What does that say about them?
No, look.
Says everything we already know.
Yeah, we know it, or sadly, we know.
Yeah.
You know, we were just saying, and Evan's right, they should just make Omar the GM. Just give the GM job to Omar. And I would be okay with that. He did a good job the first
with
time.
Who?
I would just give it to Omar.
I was going to say, I don't think Omar wants it.
No, because he's.
No, I don't think he does.
Because he's a smart guy.
I mean, let's look at the candidates right now. The from what we think we know, and I never want to assume that I know what's going on in the Wilpons' heads, because that would take me to a really dark place. But from what we think we know, they want to bring in an old school person and a new school person.
Right.
What the hell is that?
Yeah. Like, well,
I don't know. I guess
generally speaking, when you're trying to have and implement a plan, you'd like for people to agree. You don't need two divergent approaches to have two differing perspectives. You have people out there who believe in scouting and player development and still respect numbers. And to invite chaos into your front office is just the most Metsian thing you can possibly do. And I'm just sitting here and looking at this like, there's no way this is true. Because while I believe the Mets, now that Jeffrey Loria is gone, are the apex of stupidity in Major League Baseball. This is like new for them. This is like them reaching Olympian levels of it. And
that's why we
and
love
I,
Passan.
Oh, he's great.
He sounds like us.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I do not get what they're trying to
do. Are you sure you're not a Met fan?
Why would he want to do that to himself?
No, I'm saying, but you sound like me and Evan and Evan.
What sort of idiot is a Met fan?
Well, you're talking to two of them. Yeah. I mean, you know.
But you know what, Jeff?
I've been there since the beginning. I've seen it all. 1962.
Yeah, but you've seen two titles.
Well,
all right?
But
I mean,
still, there's been more inept than there's been good.
But, Jeff, you hit on something that I'm holding out hope to, and you said it right at the top because I think you're fair.
Yeah, they get lucky.
You said they could
get lucky
back into
it.
And that's my hope. So let me ask you this. I want to
know. Who are they backing into?
Who is the guy that if they hire, you'd say, you know what? They backed into it.
If they hire Chaim Bloom, they hit a home run.
Okay. Even though my nerves.
That's the guy from the Tampa, right?
35. Here's what I'm nervous about, Jeff. If they hire him, he's basically being hired to get Jeff Wilpon coffee. That's what scares me. He's going to say, all right, kid, go get me coffee.
Right.
I don't think he would take the job if it's to get Jeff Wilpon coffee.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it would be like Mike Chernoff. And I think it would be like Fab Levine. And I think it would be like Ben Sherrington. And I think it would be like every other person who's scared out of his mind to take that job. Mm. The fact that Mike Chernoff turned down even a chance to
interview,
talk
right.
Yes.
Right.
with the Mets.
He's a smart guy.
What does that say about you literally have a kid who grew up here, whose dad runs the radio station that we're talking on right now. There is no more perfect person for the Mets GM job than Mike Chernoff, and he will not even talk to you. If that doesn't cause you, as an ownership group, to take a really hard look in the mirror and say, okay, what are we doing wrong?
Well, let me ask you though. Why and
then
how
maybe
do you,
then maybe nothing then maybe nothing ever will.
Then why is Bloom open to the job? Is he just desperate
to
get a GM
job?
Why is he open? Why isn't he turning them down?
No. I mean, I don't have any firsthand knowledge of this from him. I know people in the Rays organization who speak incredibly highly of him, And I think without, okay, let me put myself into the shoes of somebody who would interview for the Mets GM job and explain why. Number one, it's one of 30. And that's what a lot of times it comes back to with anyone. There are 30 of these jobs, and if you can get one of them and it puts you in a position of decision-making power, that's great. Number two, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Matt. Like, you're stepping into a pretty good rotation right there.
Yeah.
And you can add Conforto to the list, and you can add Nemo to the list, and you can add, hopefully Rosario to the list. Like, there are some guys on that team where you don't have to squint particularly hard to see them being okay. Pitching needs to stay healthy, but if the pitching stays healthy, this is a team that can contend. And third off, there is so much room for growth there that if ever you find yourself in a position where you have either convinced or circumstances have made it such that the owners are not nearly as hands-on anymore as they've been in the past, you're running a freaking New York team. And it's not the Yankees, but it's still a New York team. And that's better than about 25 other situations, both financially and just in terms of being able to attract players. Players want to play in New York. Like the Mets, I get that the Mets are the Mets, and because you guys have such strong feelings for them, after years like this, the emotional wave is just like, who's going to want to play for the Mets? People want to play for the Mets because they get to live in New York, and because New York's awesome, and because when the Mets win, that stadium. It's great.
Yep.
The upside for the Mets is about as high as it gets. The downside for the Mets also happens to be as low as it gets.
Oh, sure. We get mean.
So you need to be that's why when people look at Sandy Alderson not being able to win as GM of the Mets, it's just like, God, if Sandy can't handle this, am I going to be able to? And that's a reasonable question to ask.
Unbelievable. It really is. It's painful, Jeff, being a Met fan. I'm telling you. There's a lot of pain.
Listen, I get it. And I would feel sorry for you guys.
No, we don't want you to do that.
If there weren't an alternative. But let me tell you.
There is no alternative.
What do you mean alternative?
What do you mean alternative?
I've been a Met fan since 1962. I'm going to change that now? I mean, come on, Jeff. Stop.
All I'm saying.
Alternative.
I grew up in Cleveland. Let me just pitch to you my idea here.
Go ahead. You're not winning with this, but go ahead.
We'll let you say it anyway.
I appreciate that. I grew up in Cleveland. There was no place that was worse for a sports fan than Cleveland. I don't want to hear your crap, Evan. Cleveland's the worst place for sports.
Yeah, no, we'll give you that.
I got my heart broken more times than you can imagine. And you know what I did? I said, forget this. I'm going to stop rooting for the teams. I'm just going to enjoy the games. And you know what? I will say this. The upside is not as great. I never sit there and am going to have the absolute joy of celebrating a championship. But as somebody who tries to live his life on a very even keel for the most part, not too many ups, not too many downs, just living a good, happy life, not rooting for a team is the greatest thing that I ever did. I get to look at everything that's going on in baseball right now and say, you know what? I like watching that guy. I think I want to watch him tonight. I'm going to enjoy watching him play this sport that I love particularly well. And for fans out there whose owners are despicable, awful, and also suck at doing the job of baseball, those two are not always in concert together. With the Mets, they are. When you have that going on, until that goes away, you have so many reasons to leave the Mets at this point. Number one, the ownership. Number two, the heartbreak. Number three, the fact that there doesn't look like there's a World Series, that celebratory joy in the future. I'm sorry, I don't agree with the idea of fans that the longer you wait, the better it is at the end. No, it's not. The longer you wait, the longer it sucks. And every year it sucks worse. And it's going to continue to
but
suck,
how do you,
guys.
Here's one thing that I don't think you get, though, okay? And I you got to understand this. You know, I will never, okay, there's only – I root for one team in every sport. They're all New York teams. They're all terrible, okay, for the most part. I'm a Met fan. I'm a Jet fan. I'm a Knick fan. I'm a Ranger fan. They never win anything. The Rangers are the closest. 94 is 100 years ago already now. That's the closest one that won, all right? The Jets is 50 years. The pain, the hemorrhoids are beyond. But there's something about seeing my team walking on that field that I can never get anywhere else. It never. It's just not going to happen. And you could.
Yeah, you're right. It's very difficult to replicate the perpetual losing.
No, but you don't. But it's not even. It's not that though. Because when they do win, and you can say whatever you want, there's no way I could get the same satisfaction rooting for another team that I would get from my team winning. It's impossible.
Listen. I know you're right, and I know I'm making a very difficult argument here. And here's the thing, Joe. Have you ever sat back and considered that a fairly decent portion of your identity in life, and I'm talking you, but this applies to people who are diehard fans of those teams.
I think I know where you're going.
A decent portion of your identity in life is shaped by the fact that you got unlucky enough to root for losers.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong about that.
Think about how insufferable you would be if you rooted for winners. Like, thank God you don't root for winners. Like your bitterness is a feature, not a bug.
Right.
I love it, and I appreciate it.
I believe
and
that we would be different people if
yes.
we rooted for different
you're,
teams.
You're
it would
probably
change
right.
that much
no,
of who we are.
You're probably right about
no
that,
question.
Jeff.
If you're a Yankees fan, you're an absolutely different person than
no
if
doubt.
You're a Mets fan.
Yeah.
No
doubt.
No, I agree
but
with that.
But to your point
I think that's
about
a great point. You're
the,
right.
The longer you wait, the more it sucks. Someday, I don't know which team.
Well, I won't be alive.
Well, maybe one of them.
Maybe.
When I... When
Thank
I
God
see,
I've seen them all win already.
Right,
you know, at least
so,
I've seen that.
So you're going through the opposite. You won early and now you're waiting.
Right.
I got nothing. I don't even
right,
know what it's like.
Right,
I
right.
can't envision it.
Right.
But I will let you know, Jeff, even if you're working at ESPN and you won't talk to us, I will let you know if you were right or wrong that the waiting sucked and it wasn't worth it. Because
yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah. And I'll be probably, you know, he'll have to come to my tombstone for that.
I'll have to leave
probably.
Him a rock or something. Or
right.
A logo.
Something.
All
no,
right.
Something, the memorabilia from that moment.
There you go.
That's
I
what
will
I need.
Do that.
I already told my wife, you know, that's what you got to put on. You know, if the Jets ever win the Super Bowl and I'm dead, she's got to put something on there to remind, you know, from that win.
There it is.
You know?
Jeff, you're the best.
Jeff, who's better than you?
I love you, boys. This has been fun.
All right.
Well, hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, hopefully again, Jeff. Good luck with your new venture, okay?
Yeah. Hopefully we got some more time with him. The great Jeff Passan.
Yep.
He still works for Yahoo, but
yes.
according to published reports,
yes.
he's jumping ship and he's going to go to ESPN.
Yep.
And ESPN has this dopey ban that they don't let anybody on the station, which means we lose him like Woj. We used to have Woj on every week.
I know.
He's on a weekly spot
with a lot of
guys
you can never get on anymore.
Adam Schefter.
There's a laundry list now.
Yeah, I miss those guys.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.